The 2018 Queensland Father of the Year Award last year, and today I had to give it back. Well, this week I had to give it back to the new person coming in. But as I was sitting there talking to the various people around on the tables and listening to what the fathers there were saying, I was struck with just the incredible thing that families across our nation are just in disarray at the moment. I mean, we could have the most, you know, potentially connected generation in history, but our kids are as lonely as anything out there. They are just dying out there for affection and love and connection. And many times when you say the word father, it carries with it not peace, acceptance and care, but harshness, fear and disconnectedness. Now, I was fortunate. I had a great dad, and I hope you had a great dad too. But if you didn't, then that's okay too, because your Heavenly Father is greater than all of those, any dads that we have around here. Fact is, quite a few of us did not have, you know, particularly stellar fathers. And probably the biggest complaint, especially amongst church folks, is not that your dad was evil or wrong or wicked or something. It's just that he was just harsh, or he was distant or disinterested or disconnected, and that they never seemed to convey unconditional love. Well, these are characteristics that sadly our society feeds into. I mean, the man's role is to go out generally and work, and so by definition he is disconnected from the rest of the family in a way that the mother tends not to be. But no wonder there's so many people who feel, you know, or at least remember their fathers as absent, as maybe harsh disciplinarians, or a disinterested bystander in their lives. You know, dad goes out to work, he comes home, mum's had enough, she says, you deal with the kids. And so he walks through the door, and the first thing he has to do is bring discipline. And sometimes that's a tough gig. I'm sure on Father's Day, many of you have mixed emotions. I think of Luke Skywalker, because I often think of Luke Skywalker in the Star Wars movies, who after facing down evil and taking on Darth Vader, the bad guy, and all of the tough, horrible things that go on there, in the end, he finds out four or five movies in, Luke, I am your father. So this one that he's hated for all this time, this one that's been the epitome of evil, is suddenly he finds out that it's his actual dad. How do you process those sorts of information? Well, that sort of information. Well, Luke chopped his hand off over it, but you don't have to do that. We'd like to find a better way. You see, you don't get to choose your father. Did you put in an order for who your father would be? I didn't. Some of us did well, some of us didn't. You can't hand him back. You can't say, okay, I want the second round draft pick. Thank you. I didn't like the first one. I'd like the second one. You can't do that, because when your father begets you, then you just get your father and he gets you. You had no influence over what he did for a living, how he treated people, his hang-ups. How many of you know fathers have hang-ups? A few of you. Good. The rest, let me enlighten you. We have hang-ups. How he treated people, the upbringing he had, the things he did, the influences he tried to bring on your life. You can't control all of that stuff. Yet with the inadequacies of human fatherhood, God still, in his infinite wisdom, chose to reveal himself to you and I as a father. Now, did he get it wrong? Did he pick like the worst role model in the world to try and show who he was? Or was there something behind this that we should maybe look at? The Bible says that there is a blessing in honoring your father and mother. In fact, in Ephesians 6 verse 2, it says, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. How many of you know honoring your father and mother was one of the 10 commandments? It's one we overlook a lot, because sometimes we don't want to do that. And anybody under the age of sort of 25 isn't interested in honoring anybody, really, least of all their parents. I mean, I thought my dad was, you know, an idiot, knew nothing at 19. By the time I was 21, I was amazed at what he picked up in 2 years. It's just incredible. You know, but this is what it's like as we're growing up. We don't want to honor them, but the Bible says there's a promise with that. And if you feel like there's a barrier between you and your father, be he alive or dead or estranged or whatever, then Father's Day is a great day to try and remove that barrier. And for you dads who have issues with your kids, it's a great day to try and restore that relationship. So how do you love an imperfect father? Well, when my girls were young, I had three daughters. That's why I got Father of the Year. I survived three daughters. Mostly like that, I would say. But when I was young, my three daughters all wanted to marry me, and I thought that was just kind of cute, you know. Any of you fathers experience that, where your little girls say, I want to marry you? No, you can't marry daddy. It doesn't work that way. But in their childlike innocence, they were telling me that they trusted me and they loved me. Yet I can assure you, I am far from perfect as a father. The reality is, for yourself, you may not feel overwhelming love towards your father, and your confidence in him may take a battering at some times. So today I want to share a few steps on how you can reconnect with your father. How you can reinstate, how you can fall in love with your dad on this Father's Day again. Now, for some of you, this might make you a bit angry. For that, I apologize. But please hear me out, because there is a blessing in loving your parents. And how many of you know that that is true? It really is. No matter how they've treated you. So no matter how imperfect your father is, let's talk about how we can fall in love with him again. So what does it mean to love your dad? Well, number one, loving your dad means acceptance. See, your dad loves you, even if you don't feel it, even if he doesn't act like it. I'm sure deep down he actually does love you. But of course, he's not perfect. He's probably far from perfect. And the thing is, last I looked, you're not perfect either. Have you looked in the mirror? Are you perfect? Probably not. So he's not perfect, but either are you. In fact, the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So you cannot be perfect, and neither can your dad. But because God loves you and accepts you in your imperfection, maybe we should love and accept each other in our imperfection. That's, God doesn't put, you know, barriers around us saying we have to be perfect before he'll love us. He just loves us anyway. In fact, Romans 15:17 says this, accept one another then as Jesus, as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. So loving your dad means accepting him. That's the good, the bad, and the ugly. Some dads are good, some are bad, and some are like me. But no matter how good, bad, or ugly he's been, loving him brings praise to God. It really does. If you love him, despite what he's done, it brings praise to God. The second thing is loving your dad means forgiveness. Now, we don't talk a lot about forgiveness these days, but loving someone means forgiving them, even if they've hurt you, even if they've rejected you. And so many people that I meet, they hold on to the pain and mistreatment that they've received at the hands of their father. And I've got to tell you, if you don't forgive your father, it's like drinking poison hoping he dies. It doesn't work. All right, you're only damaging yourself. Matthew 6, verse 14 to 15 says this. Jesus said, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So if you don't forgive someone, then like it or not, you are giving them power over you, and you are actually hurting yourself, not them. That's why Jesus wants you to forgive. He's saying, if you don't forgive, you're not going to know forgiveness in your own life. And he loves us more than anybody. He, you know, and sometimes we look at our dads and we say, you should have known better. You should have behaved better. You should have said this. You should have loved me more. But you need to forgive him for any time he's fallen short, because loving someone means you forgive them. The third thing is, loving your dad does not mean agreement. You know, some people think that if you're going to love your dad, you're agreeing to anything he's said or done to you in the past. That's not true. You see, he may have wronged you in the past, but if you forgive him, it doesn't give credence to what he did before. See, forgiveness doesn't mean you agree with what they've done, with what was done to you. It means you're released from the power of what was done to you. That's it. You're released from this power that it has on your life. Romans 6 verse 14, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law but under grace. And I meet so many, particularly men, guys, who grow to adulthood and they still feel like they're letting their father down. They might be successful in business or sport or something else, but they still feel like they let their dad down. Now listen, whatever you feel towards your father, don't give any sin he has committed against you power over your life. It's time to let it go. So the fourth thing is, loving your dad means giving up getting even. Now, I know there's a human tendency here. I'm going to forgive them, but only when I've kind of had a shot at them, because they deserve it. You know what I'm saying? So when you forgive someone, you have to give up the right to get even with them. Romans 12 verse 19 says this, "Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." But listen to how the Message Bible puts it. Have a listen to this, the same verse, Romans 12, 19. "Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it." So you see, you don't have to get even if your father has wronged you. If you've been wronged by your father in the past, it's time to make like Elsa and let it go. Let it go. You know, you've got to let it go, folks. Because if you don't, it will control you. And it will ruin your life. So let me ask you a question. Do you want to feel justified or do you want to feel free? Because if you want to feel justified, if you want to feel righteous anger and all this sort of stuff, you will never be free because you won't be able to forgive. Give up the right to get even and don't try and punish him. Just forgive him. And if you're a dad, speaking to some of you dads, give up the right to control your children. Just forgive them whether you agree with them or not. Show of hands, who here is a father? Or let's say older than teenage kids. Put your hands up high. Keep your hand up if you agree with everything they do. Only Fred. Look, we don't agree with everything our children do. But we need to love them. See, loving your earthly father means forgiving him just as Christ forgave you. And loving your earthly children means forgiving them even if you don't agree with them. You can love them even if you don't agree with them. 1 Peter 4 verse 8 says, "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins." How many of you know that if you've been wronged and you've forgiven, love someone, it just covers over the sin? Even if they haven't repented of that sin, it's still smoothed over somehow because love covers a multitude of sins. The fifth thing is that loving your dad starts with a decision. Now, some of you here may not want to make this decision, but you might be saying, "Well, I don't hate my dad. I just don't like him very much, and I kind of love him, but I don't want to show him or tell him because he never showed it to me." That's getting back to that paying him back for it sort of stuff. See, you can make this Father's Day the greatest Father's Day ever by making a simple decision. You can decide today that no matter what the cost, no matter what he throws back at you, that you will love your father. You can decide that today. You can decide to do it even if he keeps on hurting you again and again. But you can keep making the decision to love him no matter what happens. Matthew chapter 18 verse 21 says this. Jesus comes up to Peter comes up to Jesus and says, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times." So he's saying, if my brother sins against me, should I forgive him seven times? And Jesus says to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven." Now, my wife got crook at me because I said 77. But that passage in the ESV actually says 77, but it really means 70 times 7. That's 490 times you've got to forgive them, which is a symbol for completely. What it means is just keep forgiving them ad infinitum. If you keep forgiving them, at some point, there will be a response. I know it's hard continuing to forgive, especially when someone's let you down again and again and again. But if you decide to do that, make a decision today, you can be the one that reaches out, whether a dad to a child or whether a child to a dad. Why don't you be the one who makes it? Why don't you be the one who says, "I'm going to reach out and care for them no matter what"? I remember a situation with my wife and I when we were young married. There was a real issue between her and her father. He was not a good father in a lot of ways. And she wrote him a letter saying, "Dad, for the things that you did to me, I forgive you." And he never responded to that. He never actually said, "Hey, thanks for that." But what happened was his entire attitude towards Fiona and I changed. Completely changed. And a few years later, when he had to have a heart operation, they said, "Well, you need to recover in a quiet place." Of all the places in Australia, he chose to ask us if he could come to our place. That's how much the restoration had happened. You see, he never said, "I accept your forgiveness or whatever." He never responded. He never apologized for the horrible things that he'd done. He just changed. And God mended that relationship. in a way that we physically couldn't. So dads, let me ask you, how can you love your kids? And I know some of you kids are here today because it's Father's Day and your dad wants you to come to church. I get that. Don't worry, we'll be done fairly soon. You should have come early. You would have got a good feed and a nice cup of coffee. But as it is, you know, you're here and I understand that you're under duress. But he wants you to be here because he loves you. He cares about you and he wants to see the best for your life. So I know some of you kids are sort of here. But how can kids love their dad on Father's Day? Or how can you, even if your dad's passed away, how can you love your dad on Father's Day? It all starts with a decision. And how can dads love their children? It starts with a decision. Both sides start with a decision. And fathers, let me tell you, if you make a decision that you will bless and honor your children, then that will be felt for generations to come. Because you will love your kids and they will respond to you. Then your grandkids will respond to you. Then their kids will. And you're talking generations of people based on your decision. Don't downplay this decision and say, ah, well, she'll be right, mate. She's not right, mate. 90% of Australian families are in disarray out there. And it's our job to make it right, fathers. In a society and possibly in your family, right across our society, love is conditional. You see, that's the way people think. That's the sort of love that we normally have in families. It's called conditional love. I love you because, or I love you if. So I love you because you're pretty. I love you because you're successful. I love you because you're so talented. Or if, I love you if you do well in school. I love you if you win the football game. I love you if you're well behaved. Now what, dads, listen, if you love your children like that, what that says to your kids is that your love for them is conditional upon them behaving appropriately. In other words, it's earned love. What that says to them is that if they do something good, you will love them. And if they do something bad, you will not love them, but reject them. And I tell you, I talk to men all the time. There are thousands, probably millions of men in Australia who feel like their fathers don't love them. Because the love that they had for their children was conditional upon their behavior. See, this is the normal love in our society. This is what family love is like. But let me tell you, it's not God's love. I believe as fathers, we have a higher calling for our kids, don't you? Dads, the way to truly love your children is to love them unconditionally. Now, in the Greek, there are seven words for love. In the English, there's one word. In the Greek, there's seven words for love. So there's a word for sexual love. There's a word for friendship. There's a word for family love. There's a word for mateship in Greek. But in English, it's all the same word. So you say, I love Jesus. I love the Broncos. I love Vegemite. It's all the same word. Doesn't matter. I love my kids. I love my car. You know, I love a starry night. It's the same word. It's so inadequate. And so this is where part of the confusion lies, that we think the love is the same because it's the same word. It's not. My father, who passed away a few years ago, was a good example of unconditional love to me. And he had to be, because as a teenager, I was a bit of a rat bag at times, and he kept loving me. And it gives a child tremendous security when they know that no matter what they do, mum and dad are not going to stop loving them, even if they disagree with them. So if I know that even with God, if I let God down, if I sin, if I hurt him, if I'm selfish, if I turn away from him, then I have the security of knowing he will never turn away from me. He loves me unconditionally. And some of you here are saying, well, I don't think God will ever love me because I've sinned too greatly. That's not true. He loves you no matter what you've done. And when you come to Jesus and you give your life to Jesus, he loves you and you can't disconnect that. You know, there's like, you think, oh, well, I've done a really bad sin. God's not going to love me now. That's human thinking because God's love is unconditional. I will love you no matter what. Doesn't mean there won't be judgment. Doesn't mean there won't be consequences, but his love will remain unchanging. You see, God's unconditional love for you as a father is here today no matter what you've done and no matter what your earthly father was like. God's forgiving heart is total acceptance, and forgiveness is beautifully illustrated in one particular parable. Now, a parable is a story that Jesus tells in the Bible with a point. And this is my favorite parable because I love the point of this story. It happens in Luke chapter 15. Let me just give you a quick summary of it. There's a son, and his father loves him, but the son defies the father, and he takes his inheritance and he squanders it on wine, women and song and sinful living. He takes his inheritance, he goes away to another land and he blows the lot. And when he's blown it all and all his friends have left him and he has nothing, he's busy, the only job he can get is feeding pigs. And he's so hungry he wants to eat the pig slops because he's so desperate. And he comes to his senses and he says to himself, I'm going to go home, tail between my legs. He said, I'm going to hope that my father will accept me just as a servant, because at least then I'll be able to eat. So let's pick up the story. Luke chapter 15, verse 20. Listen to this. As the son finally heads home and he arrives home, listen to what happens. And he arose and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father ran and embraced him and kissed him and felt compassion for him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate, for this my son was dead, but now he is alive again. He was lost, but now he is found. That's the love of a father. No matter what he'd done, this son had basically stolen his father's inheritance, squandered the lot, and was coming back in shame. And the father didn't sit here saying, okay, well, it's good that you're back, but I'm just going to punish you a bit so you know what it feels like. He didn't say that. Well, it's good that you're back, but you probably better go down with the servants because you're not worth any more than that to me anymore. The father didn't say that. The father loved him. The father never stopped loving him. The father reached out to him and said, this is my son. You were once dead, but now you're alive to me again. And that's the love of the father. That's the love of our heavenly father. It's not like earthly father's love, which is conditional. It's just unconditional. He loves us. The father, despite the son's sinful, selfish actions, never stopped loving his son. This father waited day after day for his son to turn back to him. He kept no record of the loss. He didn't say, well, you know, you're welcome back here, but here's a bill, you know, for what you've done. He didn't do that. He bore no grudge. He didn't rehearse a suitable punishment. He just waited day in, day out, poised, ready to run out and accept and love this son there. And that is the heart of the father to you this morning. He's sitting here waiting. He's waiting for you to respond. He's saying, where are they? Where are they? Are they here yet? Because he wants to rush out and gather you up in his arms and love you. However strained your relationship with your earthly father, I want you to recognize this morning that there is a perfect father in heaven who loves you. And his arms are outstretched to you right now because your daddy wants you home. There's a Spanish story of a father and a son who became estranged. And the son ran away and the father couldn't find him anywhere. So he went out looking around all of the bars and, you know, the brothels and all of the different places in Madrid. He couldn't find him. And finally, in a last desperate effort to connect with his son again, he put an ad in the Madrid newspaper. And the ad read like this: Dear Paco, meet me in front of this newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you, your father. On Saturday, 800 Pacos showed up at the newspaper office. 800 young men called Paco who were desperate to reconcile with their fathers. Fathers, what are we doing? We're driving our kids away. See, some of you are there right now. Some of you wish there will be an ad in the newspaper saying, come and let's reconcile, love dad. Some of you have been hurt by your father, let down, pushed away. You might feel he's been unavailable to you. You might feel he's too harsh. Maybe you feel like no matter what you do, you could never gain his approval. And you, like 800 Pacos, are looking for their father. But your earthly father, whether good or not so good, can never be that perfect. Right now, there is a heavenly father who is perfect, whose arms are outstretched to you on Father's Day. He's looking in your eyes and he's saying, come, I love you. Come home to me. Your daddy wants you home. You know, you dads, maybe the Lord is telling you to reach out to that child that you don't feel connected with and show them unconditional love. And for some of you, maybe it's time you reached out to that dad you're not connected to and love him. When did you last tell your dad that you loved him? For me, it was just a few days before he died. And I won't have that opportunity again this side of glory. I wish I could, but I don't. And I miss him. You know, 1 John 4 verse 11 says, God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. 1 John 4 verse 8 says, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. It doesn't say God has love. It doesn't say God loves. It says God is love. And if you know God, you should know God's love. Now, you probably feel it's unlikely that you could change your father's opinions or his ways, or if he's dead, that you could change his legacy. But today, I don't want you to focus on what you can't change. This morning, I want you to focus on what you can change. Because God is looking at you right now with the heart of a father. That perfect father who is reaching out, who is watching the horizon, waiting for you, with his arms outstretched, ready to hug you and to love you in a way that you've never known. Romans 8 verse 15 says this, for you did not receive a spirit of a slave to fall back into fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Well, Abba, long before it was a 70s pop group, was actually the Aramaic familiar word for father. We might translate it as daddy, but it's a little more formal than daddy. But what it is a special word that's reserved for a child and a father in Aramaic. And there is a special relationship between a heavenly father and you if you would run into his arms this morning. So today I'm going to ask you to do that. I neglected to sing a song this morning, and I've been rebuked a couple of times, so I'm going to share a song with you, if that's okay. Is that all right? Everybody nod. Make me feel better. Good. This is a song I wrote about 20-something years ago. The little voice that you hear in it, she's now 26, 27, so it was a long time ago. But it's a story about a father's love for you. It's called Your Daddy Wants You Home.
Just close your eyes. Let your father speak to you. Come, give your heart and soul to Jesus. Come, let all the forest roam. For he heals the brokenhearted and comforts those alone. Oh, come, your Father wants you home. Thank you.
this, Daddy, but I tell you, his arms are outstretched to you. He's watching that horizon. He's looking for you. He's reaching out to you. Make this the greatest Father's Day ever. And give your heart to Jesus. Some of you may have walked away from him. Maybe you've refused to listen. Maybe you said, I don't want anything to do with this religion stuff. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about relationship. And your Father, your Heavenly Father, has a plan and a hope for your future if you would just listen to him. So I'm going to say a prayer. If you've never asked Jesus into your life, or if you did in the past and you've fallen away for whatever reason, let this be the greatest Father's Day ever. Pray this prayer with me and ask Jesus into your life. Whether for the first time or for the first time in a long time, ask him in. Make his Father's Day special. Make your Father's Day awesome. His arms are outstretched to you, and your Daddy wants you home this morning. He wants you home. He's been waiting. He's been scanning the horizons. He's been looking. He's been waiting. He's not angry. He's not disappointed. He looks at you with eyes full of love and he says, come, 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 come home. I'm going to pray this prayer. Pray it with me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I'm sorry that I sinned and walked away from you. But right now, I ask you into my life as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for accepting me. Thank you, Daddy, for welcoming me home. If you pray that prayer for the first time or the first time in a long time, I'm just going to ask you to shoot your hand up very quickly where you are and put it down. We're not going to embarrass you. It's between you and God. But if that's you, yep. Are there any others? I'll just shoot your hand up and put it down. Praise God. But I believe that God wants us to cement our relationship with him. Father's Day is a great day to get it right with your earthly Father and with your Heavenly Father. So I'm going to lead you in another prayer before we sing, and I'm going to ask you to pray it with me. And what I'm going to ask you to do is to just open your life to the Spirit of God and just say, Heavenly Father, I just yield my life to you. I give my life to you. And let him have his way. He has plans for you. He has a future and a hope, and he loves you so much. His arms are outstretched because he loves you. Saying, come. So pray this with me. If you know the Lord, it's time to really just give it all to him once again. Just say these words. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for loving and accepting me. And right now, Lord, I give you my whole life, my hopes and dreams, everything I have, everyone I love, everything I am, Lord, I give it to you. And say, have your way. Let's stand together, folks. We're going to sing this song through. And I know God has been speaking to people in this meeting. We're not going to prolong this. We're going to wrap it up fairly quickly. But for those who are struggling in their relationship with their father, with their earthly father, I believe we need to get it right. And for fathers whose kids have wandered away from the faith, I believe we need to get that right. We need to pray together and believe God that our kids are going to come back to Jesus. Are you with me on that? So I stand here as a father in that very boat. And I believe that my kids are going to come through for the Lord, and my in-laws, kids-in-laws, are going to come through for God. And now their kids are going to come through for God, and their kids are going to come through for God, and their kids, and so on down the line. Because this nation needs fathers, and this nation needs the Father. So we're just going to sing this through a couple of times. If you are struggling in your relationship with your dad, I'm going to invite you to the front. If you have kids who don't know Jesus, I want you at the front, because we're going to pray and believe the Lord that our families are going to get saved. Are you with me? Yeah, come on, let's do it. I'm going to sing Here I Am Waiting. Come on, don't hesitate. Come forward, and we're going to pray for our families. Come on. If you've got kids who don't know Jesus, come and stand there. We're going to pray together. We're going to believe God together that our kids will be saved. If you've got kids you're worried about that are kind of spinning out of control, you need to be here. We need to trust God that we will see a change in our kids' lives. Come on, sing it out. Come, live in me. Come on. Who don't go on for the Lord, and it breaks our hearts as parents, doesn't it? The Lord just spoke to my heart, and I want you to come to the front, special honor position here, if you're the dad of a young child. That includes in the womb. Because why should we wait until they've gone away from the Lord to pray them back? Why don't we pray over our kids right now? Why don't we do that? Come on. So if you're a young father, you've got young kids, why don't you come? Yes, come on. Even if you're in the womb. And yet your wife can come with you as well. That's fine. Bring anyone you want. But I want to pray, I want to believe the Lord that we'll have a generation that will stand for Jesus in this nation. Are you with me? Come on, move right to the front, folks. Move right to the front. Our prayers will go around and pray with you. But look, let's just pray and believe that God's going to turn this generation upside down for him. You with me? And why shouldn't he use your kids to do it? That's a brilliant idea. So, I mean, it's exciting. Some of you guys, the baby's still in the womb, and already we're giving the Lord our children. How good is that? So come on, let's pray. Let's pray together. Lord, Father, I just pray that you would just speak to every father and mother who is here. Lord, we just claim our kids for you, whether they're in the womb, whether they're 1 year old, 2 year old, 5 years old, 10 years old, 20 years old, 40 years old, 50 years old, 70, whatever it is, Lord God, we just claim our kids for you. Heavenly Father, we pray, we cannot do this, we cannot bring them to Jesus, but it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. Lord, we just believe that you would raise our children up to fear you and to know you and to serve you, Lord God. And we pray that your arms will be outstretched to babies, even in the womb, even as young children saying, I have a plan and a purpose for their life in Jesus' name. Father, we claim our kids for you in Jesus' name. Oh, let's sing together. And if you have kids who are away from the Lord, name them by name as you pray, as you're down here praying. Name them by name and say, Lord, I want to claim this child back for Jesus. Now let's do it. Our kids, our generation, we need to love our kids. And we want to transform this nation. Come on, sing it out. Claim them by name. In this nation, that we will win this nation to Jesus, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. Oh Lord, we commit ourselves to serving you, to honoring you, and to reaching out to our kids and to our fathers in your love, your heavenly Father love. Lord, we commit our lives to you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're just going to play some music. If you just want to stay here at the front in the presence of the Lord, just hang about here and just spend some time with. The meeting's dismissed and everything else. But if you want to just stay here, just stay here. Just stay in the presence of God. And just pray for your children. Pray for your children.